DJ Chuang here for the Next Generation Church Conversation kickoff episode. I'm here with David Park, and he is driving in his car, and we're having a conversation about something he experienced recently. David, are you there?
I'm here. Technology is bliss.
Yeah, that's right. And it sounds like you're using a noise cancellation headset, so it's pretty clear.
Yeah, not bad.
Awesome. What are you using over there?
Actually, I'm just talking on a BlackBerry Tour.
A BlackBerry. And then I'm connected in through a Skype connection. So that's what I'm using on this side. And that way I'm able to record this conversation. So we wanted to spend a few minutes and talk about what you experienced at this Korean Worship and Music Conference. So tell us about what the event was and why you were there.
It was the 12th annual Korean Worship and Music Conference that was hosted at Columbia Theological Seminary. And I think it's largely through the PCUSA. And the director there is actually our incoming professor, Korean-American professor, Paul Ha, at Columbia Seminary. And he's a professor of worship. And he was one of the directors of the conference, and it was fascinating because I had never seen anything like it. But through just being at Columbia and having some affiliation with the seminary, my friend Dan Raw, also a blogger at Next Generation Church, and I were asked to host and lead a track, one of the tracks at this conference, which is notable in the sense that they had not had an English-speaking or second-generation track at this conference in its previous 11 years. So this was the first year that they were going to do that. So we were all a little bit unsure about what our role was to be and how we could best enter into dialogue with this conference that had been existing. Dan and I certainly didn't know what to expect, and we weren't just brought on as participants kind of spectators. We were brought on as leaders of a track. So we were already overwhelmed at that. But they asked us to lead on emerging worship. So we really tried to map out some space of how to introduce emerging or emergent concepts, and then how do we fuse that within the ethnic context of Korean American church. And that was a fascinating dialogue because we opened up with kind of from where we were trying to locate ourselves in terms of the philosophical movements in history and then the historical kind of changes and also making note of the musical changes and worship changes. Mm. And then also making note of the sociological and the kind of identity issues that were kind of at the heart of the immigration experience and how that also is proving to be problematic because of the symptoms that we see. So with Asian Americans at large, but specifically Korean Americans, we see higher rates of depression, mm-hmm. Alcohol abuse. We see, even though there are large numbers in the first generation with church attendance, that seems to drop off significantly in the second generation. So,
right. So how much time did you have to share all this? I mean, this sounds like a three-day event to unpack all of that.
It was a multi-day event. It started off Monday morning, and then it ended on Thursday morning with a closing worship service. So, again, there were worship tracks. There were tracks like the one we were leading, but there are also keynote speakers, which are pretty large names in the field, I should say, of kind of studying worship and that kind of thing. And there were worship sessions every night, and all of them were really creative. In fact, I would say that they were more emergent in some ways than we had seen before.
Wow. Can you describe how they had some creativity? Because many people may have experienced kind of a traditional Korean worship where there's a lot of hymns and maybe kind of a choral rendition of certain songs, and there's a value for reverence, but What did the creativity look like in this event?
Well, one thing that we thought which was much more creative than anything Dan and I had ever experienced in Korean churches growing up was they were willing to change the space. So there was a lot of decoration that was kind of handcrafted there or brought in from outside, where they would build different structures. They would change the format of the, they would really make good use of space. Mm. So aesthetically, they would already approach the church very differently, whereas, mm-hmm. you know, mostly in our Protestant setting, we're more iconoclastic and kind of just, we don't think of the room as having any effect on the worship. Mm-hmm. But here, they paid attention to those details. Mm. So they would actually, by the final day, they had calligraphy. Like, they would have the scripture written in calligraphy. They would have prayers written in calligraphy, declarations, with, you know, in the Chinese calligraphy kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
And they had banners all around. So that was very interesting, just visually, to be in that kind of space.
Now, did you or Dan snap some photos and post it on TwitPix?
You know, I really regret that neither one of us, we were so involved with our track and trying to make sure that we were paying, you know, contributing what we had to offer, and then also really just relishing the fact that this was all happening around us. So we were kind of enveloped in it, and we weren't
sure.
really.
Well, that's good. It's good to be totally present. So I'm glad you were fully engaged and participating and listening, as well as sharing a few things that you've prepared for. So what surprised you in terms of response? How did people receive what you had to say?
Well, let me just make one note. So one of the things that they did in worship that we had never seen was there's a traditional Korean way of, I don't know if it would be worship, but it was kind of like song style, where
okay.
the person might sing what they're reading, and it's called, in Korean, it's called chang, which I guess is C-H-A-N-G. Chang mm-hmm. is the way they would tell stories mm-hmm. back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he preached in a way that was like that, mm-hmm. but it was also call and response.
Mm-hmm.
So almost, I think the only similar analog would be in kind of like African-American settings, where there'd be kind of a rhythm and a chorus, and the chorus would call back to the preacher, and the preacher would say something, and the chorus would say, you know, preach on, preacher, or
yeah,
you know, yeah, that's right, or they would say, you know, they would sing a verse back.
Yeah.
And that was all done in the traditional style.
Wow.
And kids were all a part of it, women were all part of it, men were
wow.
there, and it was, he would tell jokes in that style, he would make fun of us, saying, oh, you know, you've not really done this before, but, you know, this is how we, and he just made it very lively and yet very kind of authentic. Nobody
oh, that's
felt
really neat.
Strange to it.
That's great.
That was fascinating. Yeah, that was very organic. We had never experienced anything like that.
Wow. Because oftentimes worship can be kind of exclusive, and to actually create an environment where people can be included, that's awesome.
Right, right.
Okay, so we got a minute left. Tell us about what surprised you in terms of the response to what you presented.
Wow. The response to the emerging worship stuff that we brought was very positive.
Mm-hmm.
And our track was asked to lead the last worship session on the last day, because that was also very thoughtful, because they said, well, we want to lead this place knowing that we're trying to transition from what we have to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So they left with us. We were in charge of it. But what we did was kind of share and say, hey, what are some of the biggest things that we can do to embody these emerging worship elements
mm-hmm.
into our context? And they really got into it, and really they absorbed it really well. And so the last worship service, we kind of enacted a few really like very short skits
mm-hmm.
that were trying to recapture the conversation around the table at home. So we had, like, for instance, there was a quick scene of a husband talking to the wife,
mm-hmm.
and we did this thing where the person sitting down would say something that was very common, and then they would have a person standing behind them telling them what they really thought.
Mm.
Which Asians, you know, Asians can do that. Well, we speak on one level, but then there's an unspoken thought.
That's right.
Behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting to give voice to that unspoken. So we did that with several scenarios, with husband, wife, parent, child, elder to elder, pastor to member, and then finally first generation to second generation.
Mm.
And so, for instance, like the first generation father would sit down facing his second generation child and say, why don't you learn Korean?
Mm-hmm.
And the unspoken father would say, or what the unspoken thought was, is, I want to communicate with you, but I don't want to look foolish.
Mm,
and
wow.
And then the second generation would respond, would say, like, why don't you learn English?
Mm-hmm.
But then the unspoken thought for that, you know, that thought or that spoken word was to say, I want to talk with you too, but I don't want to feel foolish.
Wow. That is really insightful.
Yeah, so when that was given, you know, when people heard the unspoken thought, when they actually heard it, there was this refrain that we gave that says, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we sang, you are a treasure, a pearl. You are one of great worth, a treasure, a pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this kind of real and felt kind of reconciliation happening over what we just witnessed, all of us witnessed, because that was an interaction that was replayed before us, but it definitely had played at our kitchen table at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then one of the things that came out of that worship service was there was a long table, similar to a communion table,
mm-hmm.
but instead of there being, you know, the elements of communion, there were all these phrases in both languages, both Korean and English,
mm-hmm.
that said that they would say all kinds of things, but they were pieces of paper that said, I love you, or I forgive you,
mm.
or I'm proud of you, or please forgive me,
mm.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
All these phrases were put on slips of paper,
mm-hmm.
and we said, basically, instead of, kind of like communion, we come to this table to say the things that we can't say, and mm-hmm. we want to take them and give them to the person we need to say these things to.
Wow, what a beautiful picture of what intergenerational worship and reconciliation can look like. We're often in this conversation where there's just so much tension and misunderstanding, and I think you've given us a picture of what it could look like and really bring healing. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was powerful. It was a great experience. And, Dan and I were saying, I think there are more people in the second generation or the next generation that really need to engage in that conference, just because it was such a beautiful, first of all, it's beautiful to witness our parents' generation trying to capture some of the traditional elements
mm-hmm.
that would bring uniqueness and distinctiveness in our own worship settings.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, was their openness to share that with the next generation. So
mm-hmm.
never for a moment did I feel lesser that I couldn't speak Korean as well.
Mm. Wow, what a bold move on their part.
Yeah, they really held a posture of openness. I never felt lesser.
Amazing.
and they really made me feel like, hey, if you speak English and make the effort to communicate and make the effort to understand my Korean,
uh-huh.
we can worship together, which for me was really refreshing and very healing.
That is great to hear. Well, let's hope this conversation will continue, and thank you for being the spearhead and hosting a conversation online at nextgenerationchurch.com.
Oh, thank you, DJ.
And we hope to make technology work for us and kind of record this oral tradition that we have just scattered around the country and begin to capture it and share it and see what other conversations can really spark and bring life to the church.
Yeah, that's really what the blog is about.
Amen. Thank you, David. I heard the door chime, so I think you've arrived at your destination.
Yeah, wow, you sound just like my GPS.
You've arrived.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you, David. Have a great day.
You too, DJ.